Well, hey everyone, you're listening to the Kurt Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting across from me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode, we're just talking about the topic of making peace with your promotion and how you actually maintain your joy in the midst of the painful side of promotion. So, Rabbi, before we jump into this full episode, I know you've got a ton of really good stuff to discuss. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, these subjects that everyone's, you know, choosing to discuss are, every time I do it, it's interesting because here I am at 68 and you're, what are you now, 30?
31.
Okay, so you're 31. So what happens is I actually kind of like put myself, I go back to when I was 31 and I have very clear memories of what I was doing back then. And I think if I could be 31 again, what would I want to know? And so everything that we're doing in this podcast is basically, I would like to say, oh, we just planned it, but it's not. But it's so valuable because you're your age, and what's happening is it's pulling me spiritually and mentally to say, okay, if I was 31, what would I want to know? Because I can tell you, listen, I've been very blessed, and Christy and I have been very successful at a young age. You know, I met her at 19, and when I was 19, we both worked at Harris Casino, and at 19 years old with a fake ID, I was actually the highest paid, floor employee, not executive manager. But I was the highest paid employee at 19 at Harris Casino out of like 2,800 employees. So because of the way I built my tip base, and I built a business within the business there. So anyway, so I'm saying we've always kind of had that ability to create resources. It's a gift. But what I didn't understand until I got saved is how do I actually enjoy the resources? Because if you do it all in the flesh and you don't do it with any kind of preparation, then what happens is you can hit the numbers, but then it's short-lived. There's no joy. There's no reward. There's no, you just have to go and do it again. And the only way really in that world of the secular world that I was in, before being born again, all there is, okay, let's get to a bigger number. So like the year before I got saved, the project I was working on netted over 7.5 or 8 million, I can't remember, over $7 million profit in 12 months. So, and that would have been in 1989. So that's, you know, there's to this day, a lot of people haven't been involved in something that's pushing that kind of revenue. But it had no reward in it, in the sense that it was, even though it was empowering me to do whatever I wanted, I wasn't happy. I didn't have peace. And so that's why I really think these podcasts will help people, if you're not saved, consider getting saved, because you'll really actually be able to enjoy. But the other thing is kind of setting some believers free in some of the key thing in spiritual warfare and spiritual life is to be properly prepared. You know, that's why the Lord says, seek first the kingdom, seek me and you'll find me, and all that. You know, like before anything happens, prayer. Prayer is just preparation. So you're praying, you're asking, and then circumstances happen, and how you respond that trains you to be able to receive the blessing. So, you know, to be able to make peace with the promotion, if someone would have had the conversation we're getting ready to have with me, I didn't get the revelation of this probably until I was in my 60s. I wish somebody would have come to me when, like, I got saved at 36, but we started in the fruit business and doing stuff with Israel, you know, moving airplanes out of Boeing Field in Seattle to Russia and then back to Israel. So we were doing, you know, tens of millions of dollars of ministry, you know, a very young age, very young in the Lord. I wish somebody would have said to us, like what we're going to talk about today, because what happens is your success, you would think, least I did as a young believer, man, if we do this, everyone's going to love it. And everyone's going to be like all happy. And so what I found was the very painful thing about life is even in the church. But this is in the church and outside the church. So I'm not picking on any group. This is human nature. People want you to do good until you do better than they do.
Mm.
And that's an issue. So what happens is you have to learn how to, in your value system and in your choices, how you, like in our ministry, you very seldom see me bringing people up to share their testimony. And one of the reasons I don't do that, people say, man, you can, you know, you overcome the enemy by the word of your testimony. Yeah, but you also provoke a bunch of jealousy and attacks on the people if you expose it. I mean, recently we have someone that many of us know is a friend of mine that I prayed through and done stuff with. And they had a $5 million increase through something we've worked on. Well, I'm not telling people about it because I've told people there's going to be a transfer of wealth. And then if it's not happening to them, then they say, well, it's not happening. Well, I know this happened, you know, 6 months ago. But there's things like that happening. But the reason I don't speak of it is because people want you to do better, but not better than them. So that's a lesson, like for you at 31, when the Lord starts to break things loose for you, and he's going to, this is going to be a year of testing, but particularly like 2025 for you and Morgan, it's going to be a year of tremendous breakthrough. So I always tell people, don't tell anybody that you've had the breakthrough. Have what I call the stupid smile. And and then when they ask you, like, well, how are you doing? I said, don't say, no one ever say great. Say, how are you doing? Just say fine with the stupid smile. And that means that you've had breakthrough. So the stupid smile and the, because then they can tell, oh my gosh, you know, they're, but I don't tell people about like how we're being blessed, because it just creates issues in the atmosphere. And that's part of making peace with your promotion, is because when you make peace with it, you have to understand when it comes, if you're going to maintain it, you have to be very careful who you share it with. I think probably some of my biggest, like where I miss my biological father, Grandpa Joe, particularly, she's an example, and a couple other relatives that I could freely pick up the phone and tell them, hey, this great thing happened. And I could go into great detail, and he would be just, you know, with his New England accent, it'd be, good, I'm so proud of you, I'm so happy, good, oh, good, I know it's going to happen, it's so, couldn't happen to a better guy, and all that. And then all that, but there's no malice there. You know, I lost my mother when I was 23 years old, lost her to cancer. She was my best friend and my biggest encourager, and I didn't really understand that she was gone until I was about 26. So it was 3 years later. And 3 years later, I was in a business, and I was the top salesperson in the company that I had. And so I came home, and I wanted to tell Christy I won the prize. I was the top salesperson. It came with a bonus and a trip and all this stuff. So I came home to tell her, and I was so excited. And you know, that's part of the reward. It's like, you know, you worked hard and you focused. And I came home to tell her, and she wasn't home. And I immediately, back then, you know, we had the dial-up. So I had immediately ran over to the telephone, and I called my house I grew up in. And I was going to call and tell my mom, because I knew my mom would go absolutely off the charts to find out her son was number one. That means this was, you know, she was really big into accomplishments and was excited about it. So I got about halfway into dialing the phone, and I had to put the phone down, and I realized I can't do this anymore. She's not there. And I just wept and broke, and it was a real, that was like 3 years later. After that was the day I kind of let her go in my soul to where I said, okay, she's really not here. But you should always, you need some people around you that you can, that know that they're really excited about your promotion. And they, it's one of the things I try for my spiritual family, which you're a part of, and Nathan's here. I hope you guys understand that, that Christy and I, that anything good and promotion, and even if it's better than what we're doing, we're happy for you. See, our hearts and the ministry's heart, even on this podcast and the One New Man Network, everything we do, our live stream, is to leave legacy so that our ceiling becomes your floor. But I genuinely, because of what I just shared, when I see like Paul and Megan or you and Morgan or Tim and Sandy, whatever, it doesn't make any difference what age group. But when I see, you know, Dusty and Thomas, they just had a new baby. And it's so prophetic because we've got all this stuff. I did this program, you know, about the eclipse here. And so right after I get the prophetic word about the eclipse, the first baby born in House of David, his name is Gideon. So here comes this prophetic Gideon's army. But, you know, from where Dusty came, and now she's a doctor, she's a chiropractor, her practice is doing extremely well. She has a beautiful husband, now she has this baby. You know, I mean, we're just, you know, we went up to the hospital with Tim and Sandy and blessed the baby and blessed them. You know, it's there's a genuine joy. So what happens is you need to kind of mark the people who are really happy about your promotion, and it's usually the ones that help you get there are the ones that are happy. The ones that are, you know, you have people that love you, but they'll, out of, it's not evil, but out of love, they'll have caution. Like, well, I don't know if I'd risk that, particularly like in finances. If you come from a family that's impoverished, like I, my spirit, my family had a spirit of poverty. I mean, just unbelievable. So I had to get free from that and unlearn all that. So when I was in my 20s, and I started buying real estate and succeeding, my adoptive family that raised me had no radar for it. I remember when my adoptive father came up to a house I built in Issaquah. His comment was, when he drove up to the house, he said, "So is this a duplex? I mean, does two families live here?" I said, "No, this is my house." He said, "Well," can't say it the way he said it, but there was a few colorful words. And he says, "Well, why in the blank do you have to have this? Is you just have one kid, you know?" But you got to remember, he raised us in 850 square feet. So now he's looking at this, and in his mind, it's like, why do you need this much space, you know? And so there was no reference point. So what happens is with my adoptive father, I could not share my promotions. Now, my biological, who was a multimillionaire from Palm Beach, you know, self-made and extremely wealthy, that's the reason I could call him, and he would just be so excited because he came from that kind of that same experience. And so what you have to do is find some people who are really for you, they love you, but also have experienced where you want to go so that they can encourage you along the trail. And try not to listen to the what I call the dream crushers, because you know there's plenty of them out there, and a lot of them do it like my adoptive father. Some of the things he said, he wasn't jealous or hateful. He was just trying to protect me because in his mind he didn't have any grid for like the level of life we were living.
Podcast at KurtLandry.com. If you want to send us any questions, you know, as always, we're trying to work kind of through those so we can have some episodes that will be really geared towards just your thoughts and your hearts. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube, please consider liking this video, making comments, join our One New Man Covenant YouTube membership. It's only $2.99 a month. You're going to get a prophetic word of the week. Also, subscribe to this channel if you're watching on the One New Man Network app. So glad that you downloaded that app and you're interacting with our content. And if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, just leave us a review. That would be awesome. You know, Rabbi, as you were kind of going through that, it's one thing me and Morgan talk about occasionally whenever I'm like, hey, you know, like you won't guess what Rabbi said or what we're doing or whatever, right? So we're just having couch talk, right? And she says that you have some of the wildest stories because your life has been so wild. And so how you relate, you know, that practical relational experience is one thing that I really love in a format of content like this, because it's obviously long form conversation. I mean, if people are going to listen and they stick with us for 30 minutes, 40, 45, or just however long it is, or if they ingest it and watch it, right? And, you know, they're giving us their time, and that's the most precious thing that we have, more than money or anything else. You know, it's your physical proximity when you spend that time, because the currency there is incredible. And, you know, I think as we kind of walk through this topic, you know, it's just, you have a crazy past. You know, I mean, like, you really do have some of the wildest stories. And, you know, like a lot of them's captured in your book that is a best-selling book. And, you know, we've pushed that. And, you know, I mean, if anybody listening, watching, want to try to grab a copy, you can just head over to our website at curtlandry.com and just go to the shop. You're going to see best-selling books, and you can get a copy of that. But, you know, how do you think relating to this topic as we kind of approach it and really open it up a little bit more, that those life experiences, right? Because you've had so many different experiences. How does that relate to, you think, the average person that is going to give us their time to listen or watch this podcast?
Well, let's make some points. First of all, I didn't realize that I had such a bizarre, crazy life. No, to be honest with you, until we wrote the book, Reclaiming Our Forgotten Heritage. And, you know, Thomas Nelson, I can just say this now, they actually were, this is another crazy thing, okay? And it's a fact. What I share is factual. I mean, it can be backed up. But Thomas Nelson called us. They're the number one Christian book publisher. I am unpublished, and they said, we're going to pay you to write a book. I don't know any other pastor, evangelist, prophet, nobody. In fact, when I told Perry Stone, my friend, I said, guess what, Perry? And he said, no. He said, Rabbi, you're lying. And I said, no, I'm not lying, but I'm asking you, because he was publishing with a friend of mine, Stephen Strang, at Charisma, and
he didn't get paid. It's a way different publication.
Yeah. Well, he did after, but he had to prove himself. So I asked him, I said, do you think I should do this? You know, because he's like written, you know, a lot of books. So as a friend, I said, Perry, what do you think? And so he said, after he got past saying, he said, no, I know you're not lying. I just said, the reason I'm saying this to you, Perry, as a businessman, and Perry's a good businessman. In fact, Perry's business consultant is my business consultant. So, I mean, and I referred him, 15 years ago. So, but I went to him, I said, is there strings attached? Because no one gives you money, write you a big check like that, unless, I mean, what's like the catch? So I just was like, I was curious, a little Jewish paranoia there in the business. Like no one gives you that much money for when they want something. So anyway, we ended up taking the deal. We wrote the book after 9 rewrites and wish we didn't do it. What they did is they forced us to actually think about how to communicate to basically an evangelical audience and Baptist audience that they represent. And it really changed my whole life. I wouldn't communicate the level I'm at if it wasn't for that experience. But by writing that book, one of the revelations that I want to share with you is that anytime there's a promotion, and I wrote notes on this, change doesn't happen in a vacuum. So I want to speak this to you. Change doesn't happen in a vacuum. This is why, like, if I'm doing something spiritual, I want the husband and the wife, let's say, to go in the immersion pool. Or I want the husband and the wife to go to the 3 days master's class. Because what happens is promotion doesn't happen in a vacuum. One of the biggest challenges you have in a marriage is where one of them is getting promoted faster than the other. And then what happens is there becomes like a separation. And so that's why I'm warning you, like, when you do promotion, make sure that you communicate and you take your spouse and your children with you. And I can tell you this, it won't just happen because, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to get better at this and get promoted. It doesn't just happen. You have to intentionally, on purpose, make it happen.
I guess talk to the people that, okay, so if I haven't gotten myself into that situation, great insight, great direction, but let's just say I'm in a marriage or a situation, right? I've got my family, I've got my kids, and it could be this, my spouse or it could be me, and there is that impasse of separation. How do you bring that together?
So what you need to do is, at different levels of socioeconomic levels, let's say, I don't know what all the numbers are right now, so I'll just, okay, let's say you make $30,000. You're at 50, 75, 100, 150. Okay, whatever that range is. I don't know what the ranges are right now. But what happens is when you're making, let's say, 50,000, you're not going to run with the same people that you're making at 150. And it really boils down to, at 50,000, you can't just call up that family and say randomly and say, hey, let's just go and let's go to Fleming's and have steak and baked potato tonight. You know, they're running a surf and turf special. Well, they want to go, but they can't go. And then it gets weird for you. It gets very weird for you if every time you go out, the only time you can hang out with them, you have to pay. So that creates that creates like some issues. So what happens is, as you're getting promoted, you're going to get separations from people. In fact, the next podcast we're going to do is healing your soul from separation. So how do you actually work through the promotional change and the cultural changes when God's taking you up the mountain? But I want to say this to you. This is the answer, is you need to know how to create habits for the next level that you're going to, before you get to the next level. I'm going to say it again. You need to have the habits and patterns. I'm just going to use income, okay? If you're at 50,000 and God's taking you to 100, that's going to take a whole new set of character and values and habits and patterns, okay? So what happens is, you need to start having habits and patterns at 50,000 to get of the habits and patterns of the 100,000 at 50. When you get to the 50, if that's your goal and you want to go higher, just using money as a measuring stick right now, if you're at 100 and you want to go to the 150, then you're going to have to change the habits and patterns. I'll expand on it. If you're going from 100 to a half a million, when people get stuck at 250 and can't get to the half a million, is because what happens is, everyone I know that makes over a half a million to a million a year have a totally different mindset of time, task, activity, and money. They do not think, act, or interact with time and money like people who make 50,000 or 100.
What's the biggest difference?
They look at money as a tool, and they only spend money to make money. Because once you get past that, you're not trying to prove anything. So you're not, when you're really making a lot of money, you don't have to go buy, forgive me, because I went through this stage. I used to have two BMWs in the garage when I got saved. But to be honest with you, I emotionally or mentally don't need a BMW right now. So I don't need it because I'm not at that age or at that place where I care what anybody thinks. In fact, I would prefer to be a little bit more hidden than to be, you know, out there. But the key is, for me, to be honest with you, I can't afford to take my resources and put it in a car payment. I would rather put it into some asset that's actually going to generate income. So I'm at that stage where I realize, do you want a car payment and feel good about that? Or would you rather put it into something that's growing, you know, at 8 or 10, 15%? And it's like, no, I'd rather have the increase. You see what I'm saying? So it's a mental thing. It's like mentally, I don't, you're past thinking about what other people think, and you just want to be at peace with yourself. And understanding, too, that everything that you purchase becomes a maintenance item. So, like, I used to drive BMWs, and they're very high maintenance, and if they break, you are going to have a horrible phone call.
Is that kind of, you know, working towards the side of this episode where we're kind of breaking down the midst of painful side of promotion? Is that kind of a funny example of saying, hey, you know, I've got to this point, I purchased this vehicle, and, you know, it's not, I guess, the mentality level that, you know, you're paying a car payment, or maybe say you had cash, right, and you just purchased the vehicle to where the vehicle is not a good future investment. It makes me feel good right now, but when you have issues with it, well, you got promotion and you got into alignment to where, you know, God blessed you with the funds to purchase it, but now you're going through something else. I mean, is that like a small example of something like that?
Yeah, and I probably got a little bit off track here with what I'm saying is, but what I'm saying is that if you're in, I want to talk about habits and patterns. Mm-hmm. So like your habits and patterns, like let's say it go back to the 50,000 and 100, what happens is you have to start at 50,000, you're spending everything you can just to pay your bills. And you're probably going to actually come up short. And even at 100 in this economy, you're going to have difficulty even at, you know, at 100. So what happens is you have to start adopting the habits and patterns of somebody that has wealth before you have the wealth, so that the wealth spiritually will be attracted to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's really a mental habit and pattern. So I want to talk about four steps that creates habits, because you can create and change your own habits and pattern. And what I've observed in most people, and that's the reason I do like goals to grow. If you'll do and make the proclamations and declarations from your goals to grow by, if you'll do that for 30 days, then what happens is you change your cue. So here's the thing, like I'll give you, see, the habits come from a cue that causes a craving, which initiates a response that brings a reward. Okay, so I'm gonna say that again. There's a cue, a craving, a response, and a reward. That's how habits work. So I'll give you a real simple example. Everyone will know this. Your phone, okay, the cue is, oh, I got a text. Okay, so that's the cue. It's, I got a text, okay? The craving is, who texted me and what's the content, okay? So what happens is the habit is you've got it, now you pick it up. The craving is, I must know what this text says. I mean, most stuff is like not that important, but you've got to know. So what's the response? The response is that you actually grabbed it and read it, and now you're responding to it. The reward is that you're satisfied your craving, so that when the cue came, when that came, okay, I grabbed the phone, I read it, I responded, and now I'm at peace. I went through that cycle. That's a habit. That if you would have done that same sound with me in 1970, no one would even know what they probably think it was like, you know, you had one of those machines and you're making a joke.
Can you do that again?
Yeah. So anyway, you know, but I can just tell you, like, okay, so you wake up in the morning, right? You feel alert. You get up, you wake up in the morning, you feel alert, you go to the restroom, you drink coffee, and then the coffee becomes the reward. So if you want to change, I'll give you a real simple way to change the way you wake up in the morning. First thing you do when you wake up in the morning is you greet the Lord. Okay, don't get up, don't go to the bathroom. As soon as you're alert, your eyes wake up, say, Lord, I thank you. This is wonderful. I'm breathing. I am alive. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice in it. You actually verbalize thanking the Lord. Then you go to the bathroom. If you've ever passed kidney stones, you might want to say...
I haven't yet.
Well, I can tell you, for one who has, you might, and when you go to the bathroom, and say, praise God, I'm not passing a kidney stone today, because it's like a man having a baby. So you might want to, and so now, all of a sudden, everything becomes positive that you took for granted. So what you're doing is you're changing your cue to put God first. So now the reward becomes that when you do get your coffee, the first thing you do is you go to a devotional or your Bible. That one habit I just said, the cue is that you wake up and you thank the Lord. Thanking the Lord triggers the thankfulness to the coffee, to the prayer, or to the devotional. That one habit right there, that will change your life totally. I can't tell you, like, it's like I do this, like, this is automatic because I've done it so many years. The kids know when they have a sleepover, they sleep upstairs with Nana, and Saba, I stay downstairs and in our room, but they do not come into my room because they know that Saba's spending time with the Lord. So they know that. Nana tells them, Saba will come out after he's done talking to God or talking to Jesus. So they see that pattern. But to be honest with you, if I get disrupted and I don't get my little Jesus time before I come out, my whole day is not functioning properly. So when we're talking about making peace with your promotion, you need to be able to have new habits and patterns that actually your habits and patterns are working for you and not against you.
I guess as we get towards the end of this, I mean, obviously you've got three more steps that we need to get to. What's the, just humor me. What's the cue if your toddler's screaming at 1 a.m. and you're going to be up for the next 4 hours? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, we're in the grandparent stage right now. The beauty of the grandparent stage is this, is you get to get a rerun of what you didn't really maybe were as thankful for when you were going through it. So when Megan was born, I was working 80 hours a week. We made a decision that if the Lord would send us, we weren't saved, but we said, Lord, if you send us a baby, then Christy will stay home until the child leaves home. And she did. So that means the Lord had to bless my business, which he did. Christy made as much money as I did the year once Megan was born. We gave to Meals on Wheels. I think we shared that story. But then the next year, my income doubled, which actually created... but we kept tithing and we're not saved, but it created that gap and it covered it for us. And she stayed home until Megan left home and married Paul. So it's something that we just made that decision to do that. But because of me working like that 80 hours a week, a lot of the getting up at the night and doing the stuff, I was not engaged with that mm-hmm. because I was getting up at 6 a.m. and I was coming home at, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. It was rough. But we made that decision. But the thing is that we, as the team, the marriage team of Christy and Kurt, we knew this is what we're going to do. Now, before I was saved, this is what the family says, I wasn't the greatest husband. But Megan will say, and Christy's parents and Christy will say, I've always been a great father. And that's what they say. So that, but I was always there for Megan, and I was, you know, was so thankful. But the getting up in the night, asking the question, I didn't do a lot of the getting up in the night. I did change diapers. I did baths and all this stuff. I was involved. But because of the 80 hours a week, I didn't do a lot of that. That was just, listen, I'm not trying to put that on you and Morgan or anybody else, but that's kind of, you know, but it was brutal. I had to, until Megan was 5 or 6, it was really grinding out. I mean, those were tough years. I mean, very successful, but you don't make the kind of income and the lifestyle we had at that young of age without, you know, people don't understand the price that was paid. You know, here's the thing is, people, John Maxwell says it this way. John, I think I even wrote it down. I may have wrote it down here. Oh, this is John Maxwell. I love some of his stuff. It's just great. He's the way he speaks, I can really relate to his business sense. He says, and this isn't a direct quote, but it's pretty close. He says, the higher you go, the higher the price. When people don't reach their potential, it's not because of a lack of opportunity or a lack of ability. It's because they were unwilling to pay the price. He says, again, another price. So, like the season I'm in, I'm 68 years old, and I'm getting ready to pay the another price again. We're getting ready to do great expansion in the media and the teaching ministry here, which you're a part of. So at 68, I have to make the choice, am I willing to go for round 27? And I'll be honest with you, the hardest thing about round 27 is that I know 26, 25, 20, I know what this is going to be. And right now, to do business and to in this atmosphere, it's a two-edged sword. Number one, it's harder than ever. This is the most ridiculous time for entrepreneurial, self-employed people that are going out and doing stuff. This is the worst time in the whole history of my business, and I've been in business over 50 years. I mean, I love business. It's my DNA. But it's the worst time, but the absolute greatest opportunity for success, because the need is so great. So it's the need of what we do is at the highest level, but it's going to be the hardest time to do it with all this crazy cancel culture and, you know, all the stuff and the misuse of what's going to happen with AI for versus the positive view, all this different stuff. So it's the greatest and the worst, but we have decided, we made the decision, you know what, we're going in for round 27. And I'm excited about it. I think it will actually physically be hard on Christy and I at our age, but I think it will actually keep us alive, because I think the adrenaline of the excitement of the promotion, but the biggest thing is we know how to prepare the promotion. So what I'll just be transparent, what we have to do, we have to have new habits and patterns at age 70 to do this than we did it when we were at 50, 60, you know, ish, 40. It's a different game. It's all different. We're going to have to change the habits and patterns. And I think the biggest thing from this podcast, if I could give anybody, is say, you have to never forget that pursuing your dream, it's not accomplishing the dream and the goal that's the reward. It's who you become. It's who you become. If I didn't think that we were going to become better leaders, better Saba Nana, better mom and dad, better friends to all the people around us doing this, I wouldn't do it. But I think the stretch of it, the risk, all of it, I think it's going to create, I think for CLM and our team, I think all of us are going to become better at everything we do, even though this is going to be difficult. We're going to win, and we're going to finish and finish well. So I think it's the right thing to do. If I didn't think that, if I just thought like, oh, we're going to make a lot of money, or we're going to have status, or we're going to, if it was about any of that, I'm not interested in that. When it's God, then if you, like my whole focus, if you could say, like, why do you do all of this? It's for souls. But you, one of the biggest ways to harvest souls is to raise up disciples. So you multiply the fishermen. And that's what we're doing. So if you're pleasing God and you're working for souls, then what happens is everybody that is blessed enough to be in this business, that basically what our widget is soul catching. And praise God, what an honor. It's the best business there is. So, but we have to raise up disciples. So we need all this teaching material. So what happens is you need to know if you're going to, let's say, harvest 1,000 souls a year versus 1,000,000, then you have to have more habits and patterns in place when you become a bigger threat to the enemy, because it's higher levels, higher devils. So I think all of us are going to become more Christ-like, having changed our habits and patterns to accomplish this corporate task that he's putting to us. And that corporate task is quite simple. If you're watching this podcast, I can look at this camera here. The whole goal of this ministry is to unlock your kingdom destiny. If I could, and I can't, but if I could lay hands on you and give you a gift and say, I pray that you would receive the gift of unlocking your kingdom destiny, I would give that to you. If the Lord said, you're going to die in 5 minutes and you're with this total stranger and you're going to lay hands on him, what would you do? I would lay hands on you like this and I'd say, Father God, in the name of Yeshua, for this precious gift that you sent from heaven, that you created to earth, unlock their kingdom destiny. Because once it's mentally unlocked, you can be like the three Hebrew children. And when you're thrown into the fire, think about it. They saw a brighter light. Yeshua was in the fire. And the Lord blessed us to unlock our destiny years ago. And we feel obligated to bring these paths to you. And if you're going to be prepared for promotion, the biggest thing you have to do is say, Father God, teach my habits and patterns to line up with my future. Let me be over-prepared at 50,000. Let me behave like someone who makes 100 at 50. Let me behave like someone who at 100 for 200. And if you'll do that, it's just an analogy. So if you're going up in the increase of authority, the Bible talks about some vessels are wood, some are clay, some are silver, some are gold. Everybody has an opportunity to go from a clay pot when they're saved to a golden goblet, but you have to have the right plan and follow the path of his glory.
So we got about 3 or 4 minutes left in this podcast. It's you know, we're trying to shoot for 30 minutes, but if the Lord takes over, we're just going to go over. So let's, if I can remember, I think we had one step. We've got three more. Let's try to do three in 3 minutes, and then we'll wrap up this episode. It's really been a good conversation. You know, a lot of different directions, and, you know, I will throw this out there because a lot of people have commented positively. you do pretty much all the prep, right? I just come in and just direct the conversation. I have no idea what I'm going to ask until we actually get into the conversation. And it's one thing, I love putting you in the position to just let the Holy Spirit lead you. And so I don't really try to push you one way or another. And so I hope that authentic feeling from an emotional standpoint, because to me, every piece of content, even if you read something, do you watch it or you listen and you go throughout the senses, it's an emotional state. It makes you feel a certain way. And so if it connects with you on a certain level, then, you know, you're probably going to subscribe to the YouTube channel or, you know, the podcast or Facebook page or whatever it is, right? To become, you know, a part of that, because the content is speaking to you in a emotional but a spiritual way. So let's do the last three in 3 minutes.
Okay. You know, you said something to me, you said, well, and you and Morgan, we have a crazy life. And I didn't realize it, but yes, it has been extremely crazy. But what happened is the Lord allowed those crazy things to equip me to do what I do today. And so then I realized, once you get saved, you realize your craziness is a filter to be able to reach more, different people groups. So that's what this is all about. It just gives me a diversity.
Well, it's just part of his perfect plan. You know, I mean, it's one thing I talk about all the time, perfect timing, perfect plan. If it's not meant to happen at this moment, well, it's not that it's not part of his plan, but for me, every blessing or answered prayer, that the version of it in my head that I was praying for, it rarely ever comes out that exact way, and it's always better.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give you the three, okay? The biggest thing, change doesn't happen in a vacuum. Once you start making change, you have to help to facilitate the change with the people around you, whether it's your family, your friends, your business associates, okay? Everything has to change. It, you know, people need to see and hear and know that the future that you're bringing change for an exciting, good reason, and the change is going to be a reward to help them, not hurt them. And you can't communicate that with words. They have to see you being happier and being empowered, okay? Number two, you have to make room for the promotion. And so when I say that, making room for the promotion, is you need to give the promotion time in your mind, because, please hear what I'm saying, you've got to see it in order for it to happen. You have to see it. I would say probably the biggest challenge with people right now is the reason you're not connecting the dots in the spirit is because you're looking at, let's just use a size of a house. You're looking at a small house. You're looking at like maybe a 500 square foot house in your mind and saying, okay, I could have this mortgage free. This is what he's given me. And the Lord is in the spirit, just an analogy, okay? The Lord wants to give you a 5,000 square foot house, okay? And so what happens is once you zero in your mind on the 500 square feet, then the Lord cannot start downloading you the 5,000 square foot, because those two different pieces of real estate have a totally different habits and patterns and maintenance and responsibility. I mean, it's a totally different world living in 5,000 versus, let's say, 500 or 1,000. So what happens is your mind is basically a computer. Whatever you focus it on, it starts processing solutions to that. So when you're spiritually, when you have to make room for the promotion, you have to start imagining and visualizing what the Lord wants to do. That's why when the scripture says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, that's why I love the prophetic. The prophetic is so necessary, because what it does is it shows you snapshots of what you need to start thinking on so it can happen. Okay. Number three, you need to have new habits and patterns that would give you a clue, a cue, a craving, a response, and a reward. So you just like, and I gave a simple one, wake up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you that I can breathe today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Okay, you might want to pray Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. So you got to wake up thankful. Number four, is never forget that the greatest reward of pursuing your dream is who you become in the process. That the whole goal is that someday you're going to die, you're going to stand before the Lord, and all of us want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That what he gave you, you did the most from, most with. And the key is to put your focus on servant leadership, servant husband, servant wife, and you need to serve your community. And if you're really, the true gift of happiness is to give, not to receive. So serve, give, love, and be thankful for the people that are around you. And knowing even the annoying people that have come are coming to really to polish you and take you to another level so that you'll have compassion, because Jesus died for all people. So he wants us to love all people. You don't have to like everybody, but we do have to love everybody in the love of Christ.
Podcast at KurtLandry.com. You can send over your questions, thoughts about this episode or any other episode. You know, I mean, like, we've been doing this for the past couple months, this new show, the Kurt Landry Podcast, since the very beginning of the year. We'd love to hear your feedback. And again, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit subscribe, comment, like, share it with your friends and family on Facebook or any other social media platform. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. Rabbi, we'll see you later.
Thank you so much, Daryl. Great job.